51551 on the text and on the banning of mobile phones at that Bob Dylan gig. One of the texters says, I was at Kurt Vile last night in Vicar Street. A girl beside me live streamed the whole gig from her phone. Crazy stuff. Patty says, hi Philip, at a great Martin Hayes concert in the Pavilion last Monday, a woman in front of me continuously checked her phone. Why did she bother going at all? And Morgan asks, or says, it's ironic that phones are being banned at venues sponsored by phone companies. Yeah, I noticed that too. Point well made, Morgan. Two men have been arrested this morning in connection with a house fire in Tralee, County Kerry, 10 years ago, which claimed the lives of a father and daughter. But the latest on this, I'm joined on the line now by Aidan O'Connor, chief reporter with the Kerry's Eye newspaper. Aidan, can you give us the background to this, please?
This was a very tragic event, Philip, as you say, just over 10 years ago. It was about 2 a.m. On Friday, May 12th, in 2012. Emergency services were called to a two-story house at Killeen Heights in Tralee Town for a very serious house fire. Inside that house were 29-year-old Anthony O'Brien, his wife of 4 years, Kelly, and their 5-year-old daughter, Nadine, just turned five, actually, about 2 weeks previous. Anthony O'Brien tried desperately to save the lives of his wife and his young daughter. And he managed to lower his wife, Kelly, out of the bedroom window. They were unable to exit, get out of the bedroom because of the intensity of the fire and the thickness of the smoke. And they did manage to lower Kelly towards the ground. She did sustain injuries, however. She had an understandable broken heel and a fractured leg. And I understand at the time the plan then was hopefully to get little Nadine out as well. Unfortunately, by the time emergency services got to Anthony O'Brien and his young daughter, they had been overcome by the fire, and they tragically lost their lives. She was a daddy's girl. Family members affectionately called her Shirley Temple because of her trademark or her trademark curls, and they were so close. In fact, both Anthony and his daughter were laid to rest in the one coffin together. Nadine wearing the communion dress that she hoped to wear one day, but unfortunately never got to wear it.
That's what's unusual about that? Heartbreaking stuff. And at the time, I see that Gardaí were saying that rumours of foul play were unhelpful in their investigation, but there seems now to have been some foundation to them.
That's correct, Philip. It's as you're aware, it's not altogether unusual that cases are reopened or termed as cold cases or advances made in an investigation. What's unusual about this particular incident is, you're correct, at the time Gardaí ruled out immediately foul play. Yes, there was a very thorough investigation in terms of forensics and so on. They sifted through a lot of debris at the time. Members of the Garda Technical Bureau, certainly items were taken from the scene and sent to what was then the Garda Forensic Laboratory in Dublin. But senior Gardaí publicly moved to quash rumours that there was any arrest made or that there was an element of criminality. The investigation at the time was solely to establish there were two, the cause of the fire and two sudden deaths. Now, 10 years later, as we're aware, we've heard of the news bulletin, it is a matter of a criminal investigation. And we know 2 months ago in June, one man in his 30s was arrested and questioned. He was released without charge, and a file is being prepared for the DPP in that matter. And this morning, two further men, aged under 40, were arrested, detained, and still are at separate Garda stations in Tralee and Killarney. So what was and is a very, very tragic incident, what we know now, is now a matter of a criminal investigation.
And one that we will follow with interest. Aidan, thank you very much for that. So from tragedy now to what might hopefully by this time tomorrow be cause for celebration. A painful defeat to Ukraine in October 2020 denied the Republic of Ireland women's team a chance to compete at the Euros in England. But If they can beat Finland in Tala tonight, they will secure a playoff to reach the 2023 World Cup tournament in Australia and New Zealand, and a lot of that pain will hopefully be washed away. For more on tonight's match and what it could mean for the Irish team, I'm joined now by Lisa Fallon from FIFA's High Performance Department and Global Football Development Division. You got to work on that title, Lisa. Yeah. We say FIFA's Elite Division. Would that not be simpler, no?
Oh, it's such a big organisation, so many departments, but a really enjoyable role. I've just come back from Costa Rica,
which we're going to talk to you about in a moment, because what was going on there with the under-20s is of interest. But let's talk, please, about the senior women's team first. The 2-1 win in Helsinki against Finland really sets us up quite nicely here.
For sure. And I mean, I think that was probably the one game that traditionally Ireland have been pretty good, and you can see the growth in this team. But often, and like in the last campaign, when you get to these types of games against the teams that are in and around you in the rankings, it's often been where Ireland have struggled and not been able to get over the line. So that win last October really was a bit of a watershed moment for the team in terms of the belief, because now they showed that they could actually really go to the well in a game, which they had to do in that game, and dig out the result, which they did. And that does a huge amount for team belief and for confidence going forward in the campaign.
Okay, and what has to happen tonight? What are the permutations and combinations here?
Well, it's pretty simple. Both Ireland and Finland are the only two teams in this group who can secure the playoff spot, the second place.
Whoever Sweden win, already gone through.
Sweden have already topped the group and they're gone through. So Ireland, a win today will secure that place for Ireland, because Finland are 1 point behind Ireland. So if Ireland win tonight, then
we get into that playoff. But a loss or a draw does not necessarily exclude us from the playoff either, does it?
No, but it means that there's two more games left. On Tuesday night, Ireland play Slovakia away and Finland play Sweden at home. So you would think that Ireland will win that away game. But these trips are very tricky as well. So it's just better if Ireland can go and get the job done this evening.
Is this the biggest match that this team has ever played then, as a consequence of that?
Absolutely, it is. And because there's so much at stake, and this time they really do have the talent and the resources and the experience in the team to go and do it. And Vera probably has the best squad available.
Vera Paul, the manager, yeah.
She's the best squad available to her in terms of the starting 11, but also the depth and the talent that's in the reserve, so that she can bring on players who can create different solutions to different scenarios.
It's almost a bit
game.
Of a contradiction, though, isn't it? That this is the biggest match that they have ever played, you're saying, but that they're not also going to be fazed by it because there is such a depth of experience there.
Yeah, but also that comes from experience, and that comes from hurt, and that comes from it comes from the pain of those defeats. I mean, that Ukraine defeat in the last campaign really, really was a deep cut for those players and for everybody, really. But, you know, you learn from that, and the players will have to go to the well tonight. There's no doubt about it. But they have the experience now to go there and to be able to dig in, because they've done it away to Finland and they've done it in the Sweden game as well. They know how to dig out games now, and that's a great depth to have in the personality of your team.
But by the same token, Lisa, Finland are coming here with their own level of pain as well.
They are, for sure. And obviously they've changed their manager. So Marco Salorento has just been appointed. He was their under 17 manager.
And they were signed up with the previous manager till the end of this qualification process, were they?
They were. So Anna Signal. So she was due to stay on till the end of this year, but they made the change. They decided to make the change for these two games. And what he's
so
done,
are they in disarray? Is that what we should be saying?
Look, there's always a reason for the change happening. But what Marco has done is he has lowered the age profile of the team. So some of the older players who were in their 30s, he's omitted from his squad, and he's brought in a number of really talented 22, 23-year-olds. Particularly, okay. I think...
So they'll have the legs, but will they have the guts for glory?
For sure. They're still a very experienced team, very experienced players, and used to playing, a lot of them playing, the three players playing in the WSL in England, that's the highest that's the best league in the world as far as I'm concerned. And plus, they're in domestically in Finland, they're in season at the moment. So all of those players are match fit. Where you look at the Irish squad, the likes of Katie McCabe and Ireland's players that play in the WSL, they're only in pre-season. So that could be an interesting factor as well tonight. So I think there's a lot of different things, different nuances to getting the right performance tonight from Ireland. But I still believe that the talent and the experience is there to deliver.
Okay, one of the nuances that I pick up on, though, is a very relaxed approach to this. Relaxed might be the wrong word, because they are certainly intent and focused, but they're not overfaced by this. It doesn't seem to be, in the comments that you're reading from players, they're not put off.
Yeah, and that's you know, if you want to perform at the highest level and compete with the best teams in the world, you have to get used to the pressure that comes with that. And I think that's the real area of growth that we've seen in this Irish team. Mm-hmm. Is that
does that come from Vera Paugh, do you think? Because I mean, this is somebody who has coached, is it 4 or 5 different national squads at this stage?
Absolutely. And Vera is experienced in that, but also you look at the likes of Katie McCabe, who plays for Arsenal. So a lot of these players have played in big games, and they're learning how to get through big games, and that comes with experience. And that's why there's, you know, the combination of Vera and the experienced players in the squad, there is a level of calmness, and you need that for a game like this.
I'm going to get you to call it in a second, but first off, let's just talk about Costa Rica and the under-20s, where you're looking at 16 and 17-year-old players in many instances. Does it give you hope for the future?
Yeah, like some of them would have been up around 20, 19, 18, and obviously some much younger ones, but really impressed with the talent and the, I suppose, the quality, the speed of the game, the technicality of it, the physicality, the athleticism of the players, and the game intelligence has been really, really impressive to see what's coming through at senior level.
What's your own sense of this? Is 2022 the breakthrough year for women's football, or is it a high watermark?
No, I think it's potentially the breakthrough, because I think huge work has been going on the last number of years, but what we're really seeing is the results of that work actually starting to transfer, and there's visibility for that, so people can see what's happening and can see the standard of the game, and people are buying into it, and that's what's really important, because the women's game is a very high standard now, and there's professional careers and a lot at stake, and opportunity, and it's about time, and people in women's football really value that now, so I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon.
A lot at stake for you now. Let's put your reputation on the line and see if you're deserving of this FIFA's High Performance Department and Global Football Development Division title. What's going to happen?
I think it'll be a very tough game. I think Ireland will win the game. I think there won't be many goals, but I'm confident that Ireland can go and do the business tonight. Okay.
Whatever happens, they're playing in front of a capacity crowd at Tala Stadium. So it's going to be a massive occasion, one which you can join in on RT2 and RT Player from 6:30 this evening. And Lisa Fallon, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.